hot, humid, and happy Sunday. There you go. Tell you Germany Rocks, Bay Ragney here. And it is Sunday, and it's time to rock and roll Totally German Style yet again. That's right. We got a fun interview for you tonight with some killer music. We got our good friend, Mr. Adam Jode, the Appalachian Apostle from Scattered Hamlet, who happened to be, as a matter of fact, coming here to the Philadelphia area for us to play a show in a few weeks, so on July 21st at the Nail in Ardmore. So make sure you're there. We got a killer lineup. We got three local Philly bands that are going to kick your ass, as well as Scattered Hamlet. We got the Outlaw Pandas, Rat Rod, and Crown of Earth. Horns up that night. Lots of cool hard rock and metal going on. But first off, we got to talk to Adam. We got to catch up with him. It's been a while. They just put out a new single. A couple weeks back, they did a killer honky-tonk metal version of the Twisted Sister classic, Stay Hungry. So we're going to play that after the interview, plus some other Scattered Hamlet music. But I talked to Adam last week. We had a fun time. And I happen to know, if I didn't have to do another interview, like right after I was taping the one with Adam, we might still be talking 6 days later, because we can just do that. we just hit it off. We have so much in common. And he's a good dude. And we just like to laugh, talk, and rock and roll. So without further ado, let me introduce to you my good friend, Mr. Adam Jode of Scattered Hamlet. Here he is.
And there he is with the eye of the tiger, the Appalachian Apostle himself, Adam Jode.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? How you been, man?
Good. I was digging on Eye of the Tiger there. I was having some Rocky memories.
there's always beautiful Rocky memories. Are you guys going to come run up the statue here?
I have before. You know, we went to the statue and everything, and that was pretty cool. So hopefully we'll get to do that again. That was pretty epic. He is the greatest boxer of all time. Like, I mean, Rocky.
You know what? Absolutely. Yeah. As an Italian guy here from the Philadelphia area, like, in my eyes, there is no other boxer.
No, and he solved the Cold War. I mean, Rocky did so many things.
Oh, man. He took on the Hulkster. He did it all.
Yeah, he did it all. You know, it's just, that's awesome. We could just go in that direction the entire time, and there'd be so much to talk about.
And you know what's crazy too? Like, there's a guy now here who he's like a Rocky. He looks like Rocky, and he does like Rocky tours where I guess he puts people on a bus and drives you around to the spots of them they're filming. And
no way.
Yeah.
I would do that.
I want to do that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
He takes you through the hood. And shows you all the fine spots of Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what, you know, when he Apollo showed him how to chase chickens around the gym. You know, all kinds of things.
Oh, that's too funny. That's such great stuff.
Good
it really
stuff.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what, too? And there's the restaurant, you know, because now he has Adrian's Restaurant. And
right.
And it's called the Victor Cafe, and I took my wife there for our 20th anniversary last summer, and I surprised her because she's for years she's like, I want to go there. So I surprised her. I took her there. Here it's an opera, Italian restaurant. So like
really,
every 15 minutes, like they start tapping a glass and you got to stop, and an opera singer comes out and sings like from some opera and starts and does like a quick verse of an opera and you're like blown away. It's amazing.
All right. Sweet. Yeah, that's crazy.
And in the midst of all that, they have the Rocky poster like from the movie hanging in the back.
That's cool. So random. That's cool though. Yeah. At least they acknowledge it, you know.
Oh, it's great. It's so freaking great. So you know what, dude? Like, you know, the more I learn about you and I just think to myself, like, how the hell, like, if you were in Philadelphia, like, we would be best friends. Like between.
Oh yeah, man, definitely.
Music, wrestling, and the Dukes of Hazzard. Like, what more in life is there? And now Rocky.
Oh, yeah, not much. Yeah, you know, Rocky. Yeah, I could get into that kind of stuff all day. My, you know, I'm a huge just, you know, just like pop cultural in general. You know, kind of. You know, into that kind of stuff. It just, you know, cracks me up. I find enjoyment of it, never grown out of it.
That's me.
Make no apologies, you know.
Yeah, that's me. As a matter of fact, I took my daughters this past Friday to they're both like video game, I don't know, video game nerds or gamers, whatever you want to call them. And so we went to this video game convention, this huge, you know, just giant room of video game freaking people and vendors and shit. And I end up I bought a Welcome Back Kotter and King Kong board games.
Wow, that's a major score.
And they weren't even played with. I mean, they were open, but
really?
Still, like, yeah, intact. I was like, oh shit, yeah, got them both for $15. I was like, okay,
nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a win. Yeah, that's definitely, hell yeah. Yeah, we get into those stuff, you know, especially when we're on tour and stuff, you know, we'll start watching, you know, we'll go down some serious rabbit holes, you know, sometimes it's newer stuff, sometimes it's older stuff, you know, but we'll just sit around and get into that, but, you know, I do that kind of stuff a lot more than, you know, some of the other guys are a little more rowdy and go do stuff, but I'm more into, you know, you could catch me down a hole watching like First Blood or something, you know, not socializing.
Oh man.
Yeah. Good stuff.
See, actually, all ready for the tour coming up? I mean,
yeah, it's kind of like the quiet time before, you know, I'm just sort of, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, at home before you go, you know, you're basically have to get everything ready to be gone for, you know, a month, which is
right.
Is a lot, you know, so, you know, getting, you know, just making sure stuff's done, like the lawns mowed, you know, like like little stupid things, you know, make sure your electricity will be on when you get back, and you know, so there's all kinds of little stuff to do, you know, so yeah, that's kind of how I'll spend this week. And then, you know, next, the guys get in this weekend, and then we, you know, we start rehearsals for tour next week, and then next Friday's the first show, so.
Wow.
You know, so that's pretty much, yeah, that's how we do it. You know, we're rehearsing presently in Nashville, so everybody will get in here this weekend, and we'll go down to Nashville and get to it.
Look at that. I can't wait, man. I'm so
yeah, I'm pumped. Yeah, same here, man. I'm excited. You know, I mean, I'm excited about all of them. You know, like, you know, we got a cool run coming up. You know, I just, you know, just looking forward to getting in the room and, you know, picking the songs we're going to do and the show we're going to put on and, you know, getting together. We kind of, you know, we do stuff a little differently every time, you know, so it's always, you know, we always come in with new ideas and things like that, you know, we, you know, everything from picking what, you know, how we start it to how we finish it, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's,
right.
It's all a blank slate, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Well, the big thing, I mean, that really has been going on with you guys is your drummer, Jake. I mean, this tragic accident, like, what the hell happened, man?
Yeah, man, it's been a very odd year. You know, it's, you know, we were kind of just getting ready to finish up the end of the album cycle for Swamp Rebel Machine. And, you know, he was celebrating his 30th birthday and, he fell off a balcony. You know, apparently he was, you know, he just had come home and he got locked out and he was trying to, you know, climb across or something as best we can piece together. And he fell and nobody found him till the next day, you know, and it just... Yeah, so he's, you know, by the time they, you know, somebody got to him, from what I understand, you know, that, you know, he had, I think he only had like a quarter of one lung working, you know, at that time. And, you know, he was already septic, is that how you say that? And,
yeah.
And yeah, he was in bad shape. You know, I mean, he had he not been so close to, you know, some of the best medical centers in the world, you know, he would have been, you know, he was lucky to make it even with that. But, you know, that, you know,
right.
He got. Pretty sure they life flighted him over the hill and And, you know, yeah, so it was touch and go there for a little bit. You know, we were actually waiting to find out if we got, you know, on like a tour package. We were waiting to, you know, to make the next decision. And, you know, instead
right.
I got, you know, that call, got that call from his mom, you know, and that was, you know, that was it. I haven't talked to him since, you know, like I've seen him, but you know, he doesn't talk anymore or anything. And it's, yeah, it's been a lot, you know, so it was kind of one of those, you know, years where you just got, you know, I mean, it hasn't been a year, but you know, you kind of just step back and just kind of evaluate stuff. And you know, wow. A little while after it happened, you know, his parents, his family, you know, talked to me, and you know, they, you know, he had spent a good portion of his adult life, you know, pushing this band, and you know, they wanted us to keep going. And
right.
You know, and you know, we weren't really sure what we wanted to do at that time. You know, do we want to keep doing it with this? Do we want to do something different? Do we want to not do it? You know, like, it was just a lot, you know, and just a lot of not wanting to talk about things too. You know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, so we just kind of sat around, and then we, you know, we decided that, you know, we were going to do something, you know, so we, you know, we came up with the idea of doing a cover song. You know, we weren't ready to put out a new album or write, you know, anything else at the moment, you know, so we,
right.
we decided to, you know, to do a song. You know, we wanted his best friend to produce it. We wanted, you know, his brother to do the video. We knew all these things, you know, but we just,
right.
we didn't have a song, you know, yeah, so we, you know, we put it out on social media, and, you know, we asked people, you know, what we should cover, and, you know, everybody has opinions on social media, so... So we got some really good ones, we got some really bad
sure.
ones, and yeah, and it was funny, like, it, you know, it was just one of those things that you know, it was kind of hard to settle on something, because your mood changes so much when shit like that's going on, you know, like
yeah.
you wanted to you know, sometimes you're sad, you know, sometimes you're pissed, sometimes, you know, you're feeling optimistic, you know, or whatever, and
right.
you know, just kind of having all those things. Yeah, those emotions, you know. And so we demoed, you know, probably like five songs, you know. And you know, we tried a few different ones. And, you know, we ended up, you know, as you know, picking Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry. And which was kind of a big, that was a good one. You know, it kind of just reflected, you know. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. Look, if we're going to go out here and we're going to do it, what we're known for is just being a, you know, a kick ass in your face rock and roll band, you know,
right.
that just goes out. And if we're not going to do that, then we're not going to be a band, you know? And so, you know, that's what Twisted Sister is, you know, that's what they did every time the industry shit on them over the years, you know, and the song lyrics just kind of, you know, worked out real well. You know, so that's how we came up with that one. We demoed, you know, we did a couple demos of it, you know, and it was one of those ones where like some of the demos we did of other stuff, you know, we were just like, ah, it's just not there. You know, you're just,
right.
And if you do it, yeah. If you do a cover song, it's weird territory too, you know, like you got to do it well, you know, and you know, I didn't want to totally like rethink something either, you know, like, yeah, so that's what we ended up with. And, you know, when we heard the demo playback of that, we're like, that's the one, man. You know, we're like, we got it. That's it. That's what we should be doing, you know?
Dude, it came out so freaking good. Like, I it's funny because I was telling people, I was telling my daughter the other day, because I pick her up from work a couple of days a week, and I have it, and she's like, what's this? I'm like, Scattered Hammett. I'm like, they did Twisted Sister's Stay Hungry. She's like, okay. And then I put it on again. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't stop listening. I drove 35 minutes one way to work and just repeat over and over, just crank. I mean, I freaking love it.
It's a great song, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you know, I heard it, you know, much, you know, after it had come out. And I remember my, you know, my brother was a big Twisted Sister fan. And yeah, it's just such a good song. You know, I heard... You know, I've heard there's been a couple people, you know, I've seen take a stab at it. And yeah, we just kind of put it together. We did some things to put our, you know, little twist on it. You know, we used like slide and, you know, those kind of things, to, you know, to get some of the sounds just to, kind of make it sound more like us. And of course, we play through our rigs. So, I mean, those are the,
right.
You know, that's pretty much the same stuff we use on stage. So, you know, we have a sound, you know, so if we're, yeah, and it's pretty much, you know, with just a few exceptions, you know, we kept it pretty true to the original, you know, and yeah, now Adam's actually playing a couple of dates with, you know, for people who don't know, Adam Newell, the other guitar player and Scattered Hamlets, playing some dates. He's filling in on guitar for D in August and a couple of dates too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was funny because when the thing with D is he's super cool on Twitter. I got to meet him, I think it was a month and a half ago. But he's really responsive on Twitter. So when you guys put him out, I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to shoot this to D because I know he'll check it out because he's so responsive on Twitter. And then when I sent it over to him, I'm like, dude, he can't get enough of it because he kept tweeting it out throughout the day. And you're like, dude, the funny thing is, like, yeah, Adam's playing with him, and he doesn't put two and two together yet.
He doesn't even make a connection yet. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, that's – yeah, we found out, like, after you sent it to him, too, his son sent it to him as well.
Oh, cool.
And, so he got it from a couple different directions. But, you know, he definitely – I mean, you were the first one that, you know, he responded back to and has just said so many nice things. I mean, you know, the way he you know, he just class, you know, that's, and that makes me even happier that that's the song we picked. You know what I mean? It's, you know, just seeing that somebody, you know, understood why we did something, the purpose behind it, you know, and appreciated that, you know, and that's cool. You know, it's class, you know, that's not everybody's the same, you know, not everybody would have that perspective. You know, he could have just ignored us. He could have said it sucked. Just, I'm like, fuck you guys.
You would appreciate this Twisted Sister story. And I told D when I met him. Now, I saw Twisted. This is going to show my age. I think it was 87 or 88. They played the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, where I grew up, the legendary Tower Theater. And saw them, and afterwards, me and my couple buddies I was hanging out with, we were, you know, waiting outside to try to meet them, and we're just fucking hanging out, and they come walking out, like, whatever it was, half hour, hour later, and there wasn't a lot of people out there, and they were signing autographs and shit, and somehow we just, like, started talking to them, and they were, like, real sociable and joking around, and we started, got on talking about wrestling, and next thing you know, dude, they start wrestling us outside the Tower Theater, and just beating the shit out of me and my buddies. I mean, like, slamming us and all. And I'm telling Snyder this, and D starts laughing and just looks at me and goes straight face. It was all Mendoza. And I'm like, yep.
That's incredible, man. Yeah, that's great. You know, like, and that, but that shows you, you know, like, those are the kind of people that, you know, you're dealing with, you know, and I find, you know, in the musical journey that I've been on, you know, I find that the people that, you know, have reached that legendary status or that are on their way to be legends tend to be cool like that. And it's the folks that are kind of not there or think they're there that, you know, sometimes are the douchebags. You know, it's kind of... Yeah, you know, and but I will say, you know, we've come across very few people that haven't been, you know, like, nice to us, you know, and you know, I don't care, you know, we just do our thing, you know, but you know, it's cool, you know, like, it's clear, I mean, those guys are, that's legend status, you know, there's no question, you know, and that's, you know, and to be cool like that, you know, I'm sure, and, you know, like, you have that story, think of all the stories that people have of coming across them like that, you know, and that's probably... Right. Why they're still doing what they're doing, you know, and successful at it.
Well, it's funny because I sat and I watched last night your Facebook Live video, and speaking of legend, like, I gotta know. So why doesn't Lita Ford like you?
I don't know. it was really weird, you know. Like I the first concert, my one of my older cousins or. You know, took me when I was little, you know, I was like in elementary school. I'd never really been to a rock concert. He took me to see Poison, Britney Fox, and Lita Ford, you know? And I was like, oh, cool. You know, like, and I watched it, you know, and I was like spellbound, you know, I was like, yes, this is awesome. You know, rock is great. You know, this is killer. So, okay. So now cut to, I don't know, it was probably when I first started my own music career. I was like at the Rainbow in Los Angeles, and I was sitting by myself at a bar at the bar upstairs, and like CC DeVille walks in. He looks like he walked off of like he's CC DeVille. Like it was hilarious.
Right.
Like I mean, he looked exactly like I remembered him, you know, on stage. And you know, I'm a full grown man now, you know. And this guy walks in, and it's just like there he is, you know. And I was like, and I don't know, and I was just like, hey, CC, what's up, man? And he was like, hey. And he came over and he sat down next to me, and and I was like, well, this is so bizarre. So I was like, you know, hey, I saw and you know, he seems kind of like out of it, like he's sort of all over the place, and I told him the same thing I just told you, you know, and he was like, and he started going, and he goes, and where was that? And I told him, like, you know, where the show was and everything, and like it came back to him. He was like perfect moment of clarity. You know, he was like started explaining to me like all about that tour. He talked about it, you know, he's going on and, you know, and he, you know, he found out that, you know, I'm a musician as well. And I, you know, and he, and I told him, yeah, I was like, so maybe if I never would have saw that show, who knows me, you know, maybe I wouldn't do what I do. And he's like, you know, that's a very nice thing to say. He's like, I'm glad I talked to you. And it was just like, so cool. And then like a girl came by and he was gone like in 2 seconds, which is hilarious. But, but you know, it's like, but I was like that, but it was like a perfect conversation, you know? So I was like, that was really cool, and I had really great things. So, okay, cut to last year, I'm at a festival, and we were like two bands behind Lita Ford, you know, and earlier in the morning, you know, I'm like a big gear nerd, so I was talking to like her tech and stuff about like, you know, the rigs and stuff they were using, and he was super cool, and you know, I was talking with them, and you know, I was talking to like the Jackal guys. There was a lot of cool bands on that bill. And, yeah. And then, you know, she finally gets there, you know, we're sitting around backstage and she's just sitting there like kind of, you know, messing with her guitar and like talking to people. She wasn't like doing anything. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go over and kind of have that same conversation I had with CC DeVille. No way, man. Like I walk over to her and like, she just kind of looked at me and just was like, yeah. I mean, I told her the same thing. I was like, yeah. You know, I said, so I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I get to play here. She's like, yeah. And just kind of like stares at me and like turns around and just like completely snubbed me. And I was just like, well, damn. You know, and I was just kind of like, okay. And I was like, you know, and then I'm like sitting there. I'm like, you know, because then I'm like, I was like, okay, now I'm going to. And I was like, nah, I just kind of like let it go. And I'm like mumbling to myself. I was like, you know, it's like maybe I'll remind her how old I am now and how old young I was at that show. and it was crazy, you know. And then I was like, you know, and she actually had snubbed our guitar player, Adam, open for her one time. And
really?
Their local paper was there. And he asked her for a picture, and she said, for the paper? Like, for media. And she's like, no. She tried to make him pay for it because she thought he was lying about the media. Like, so,
wow.
So Adam had already told – yeah, so, like, these two stories, like, I'm just was like, wow. I was like, does she just, like, hate us? Or, like, does she probably doesn't even know, you know the connection. But it was a really weird – you know, I don't know if we just both caught her on two different days. I mean, she – it was just a very bizarre thing. Like, I mean, you know, I don't think that I've walked up to anybody to talk to them, especially like, you know, at a festival, like on a peer level, even, you know, not that you should treat anybody differently, but you know, I've just never been snubbed like that. You know, it was a weird thing. And I was just like, oh shit. Well, okay. Maybe she, you know, she doesn't like, you know, maybe I remind her, you know, I mean, I am a loudmouth man and a, you know, big beard and a cowboy hat and stuff. Maybe she just thought I was a dingbat or something. And, you know, but yeah, it was funny. And then, like, you know, we find out we're playing with her again at Sturgis. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try again.
You have to. Oh, you have to. You know what? Look,
I'm going to walk over. I'm going to try the same conversation.
Here, I have her on the phone right now. You ready?
This is Lita Ford, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio. Kiss me deadly, baby.
Yeah, she's awesome. Like, there's no question.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just... You know, and yeah, that was the thing. I was like, but you know, hey, anybody can have a bad day or something, you know, but it just was one of those ones that stuck with me. And, you know, it's like,
It was just funny. Like, it was just I had the exact opposite experience with CeCe DeVille. So maybe I had, like, unrealistic expectations of what was going to happen. Or I don't know. Maybe her cat died that day or something. I don't know. You know, like, it's hard to say. But, yeah, but it was funny. So it was hilarious that, like, it came back around again. You know, we're on the same bill. You know,
You have to absolutely try to. And I want an update. I want to hear this.
Oh, yeah. We've got to. I was like, we can't go in with our cameras blazing, or that probably would definitely piss her off. Like, but, I'll try to, just at least go in. You know, I don't want to, at least wait till after we play. I don't need to get kicked off that show.
Hey, Lita, we're going to Facebook Live and see if you're going to be nice to us this time.
Yeah, I've gotten mad at people for that too, though, I will say. So, like, sometimes there's, like, sometimes there's, like, that little, like, that public and private thing, and I'm usually pretty cool if you start something. But, I've been, like, hanging out with a green room, and, like, some jabroni will be, like, FaceTime living, like, while I'm sitting there, I don't know, like, brushing my teeth or something, And I'll be like, hey, you know what? This is like our 2 seconds of like quiet before we have to, to go do our thing. I was like, can you not like Facebook Live anymore and do that? You know, or what is the other one? What's the other one they use? Snapchat.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. Whatever the hell it is. Yeah, it's like, and I'm just like, can you not do that? And then you'll turn around like 5 minutes later and they're like doing it. They're like trying to sneak it. Yeah, and I was like, of course, then I threw him out, but it was just like, what the hell, man? It's like, what's wrong with you? I was at least nice about it. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, at first, but it's like, what the hell is wrong? So I'm sure, she probably gets that, magnified by 1,000 too.
Right.
So I try not to judge. It just was funny, and I'm very. On social media, if I have an experience, I let everybody know about it, good or bad, because it's funny. I have no reason to pull punches for anyone, So,
you're throwing them potatoes right in there.
Yeah, that's what happened. That was my experience, and this is how it was, and so we'll see. Hopefully that, hopefully it goes well. Maybe she'll realize what's been missing in Kiss Me Deadly. Is a bearded guy on a Les Paul to come out with her on stage. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
Now we're talking real unrealistic expectations.
And you got to tell her, like, it's funny because when I did interview her, all I kept telling her is, like, all I care about is wanting to see you play Dress to Kill. Like, I don't give a shit about any of the other songs. Just Dress to Kill. We gotta let go. Like, those are my two favorite songs of Lita. Like, the other ones, like, mean nothing to me.
Maybe I should just go in like a completely different. Maybe I should just go in like the ultra confident direction and just be like, "Hey, Lita, this is Adam Jode. What song are we going to be doing together tonight?" just see how that one flies. Maybe that'll be maybe that'll be the third try. If I get snubbed twice, that'll be the third one. We'll just go straight in.
Tell her CeCe told me we were playing a song together.
Yeah, be like, yeah, we're doing the song. We're doing Dress to Kill.
or tell her you're doing. You heard you were doing a duet with Kiss Me Deadly.
That's right. Yeah, or we could do the Aussie one with. I'll do the Aussie part. Well, so yeah. See, there's so many things that can happen.
Oh man! It's funny you brought the whole Facebook Live thing, like. How was that? Like, what's your thoughts like when you're on stage and you're seeing all the phones up?
It's kind of, I don't know what you're doing with the videos because they sound like crap. It's one of those, like, I don't mind it, but like, it's like, it's like, hey, just enjoy the show. Be in the moment for a minute, like it's just enjoy it. You don't have to tell everybody else about it. They're not going to want to watch the video. It's because it's going to sound like, ass and, but hey, if they're out, they're at the show, that's how they enjoy the show, then cool. But yeah, I do think it's a little, kind of silly after a while whenever. I definitely never want to see that. Like, people always be like, hey, man, I just was checking out this band. You want to see my video I got on my phone? No, I don't, but I love that band. But I don't want to see your, phone, like, vintage review. Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't need to see that, but...
That's so funny. That is so freaking funny.
Yeah. I mean, I don't I'm not like I'm pulling a Danzig where he gets mad when people like take pictures or anything. And, you know, maybe one day I will when I get more temperamental. But, you know, for right now, I don't care. It's just like I usually just tell him, make sure you get my good side.
You know, it's funny because like, I'll do it. Like I'll do like a Facebook Live for like one or two songs here and there of groups. And then like, as I'm standing in the back and I'm watching the show, like I see all the phones up and I'm just like kind of shaking my head. Like, wow, that looks just kind of jacked up. It really does.
Yeah. It's just weird, you know, but like I said, you know, who knows, you know, I don't, you know, I know there's some artists that are really bothered by it, you know, like, and it's just, I'm not that bothered by it. You know, there's very few things that I'm very, you know, bothered by, as long as, you know, I don't get too upset. I mean, there's only, you know, like, I mean, if somebody, you know, I think the only things that I've ever gotten off stage for were like, you know, a dude, you know, punching a girl in a mosh pit, like things like that, you know, like when somebody's being like unsafe, like that's kind of stuff, you know, obviously there's, you know, it's like nobody should feel, you know, God, I want to sound like a freaking super liberal now, but I mean, nobody should feel unsafe at a show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I mean, you know, but yeah, that's, you know, it's a fun place. It should be a fun place. You know, that's for
absolutely.
Sure.
Now going back to the Stay Hungry single, you said you guys did some other ones. Are you going to release any of those other ones, or is it just going to be this single and then work on an album at some point, or?
Yeah, that's the move. Yeah. None of the other ones are, you know, they're just demoed on my computer. You know, they're just, you know, and when I say demo, like what we do is, you know, a lot of the way our songs start is, you know, I just use like plugins and, you know, some fake drums and stuff like that, and just kind of make a skeleton of about what it's going to sound like. And then if it progresses, then the other guys will play some parts on it, and then, you know, or send me stuff, and, you know, and that's kind of how they progress from there. So we have them in that form. So they're not really made for people to like listen to, you know, they have the sonic quality of like, you know, early Misfits albums, you know, like, just like the, which I love, don't get me wrong, but you know that, you know, but yeah, it's like the old punk rock stuff, you know, but yeah, you know, that's, but yeah, I, so no, we're not going to release.
I was really shocked. Like when you did the state, when Stay Hungry came out, I was like, I wasn't expecting it. And then like, I'm like, duh, I'm an idiot. The tour's called freaking Stay Hungry. So,
yeah. You know, no one made that connection. I thought for sure that was going to be like, I was like, okay, somebody's going to figure this out. And nobody did. It was pretty funny. So I was like, yeah, well, cool. So, you know, but you know, it's one of those ones that it's not like a one that everybody knows, you know, like, I mean, if you're a music fan, you know, that one. But if you're, you know, if you're like a casual listener, you know, they know, like, you know, I Want to Rock and, you know, We're Not Going to Take It and those kind of anthems. And, you know, like those, for me, like stuff like that is kind of, you know, those are like sort of untouchable almost, you know, that would be like, I don't know, it's like going to cover like Freebird or something, you know, it's like, you gotta, you know, there's some, you know, that you're walking on thin ice. You know, yeah. I'm not saying it can't be done, but you know, you're setting yourself up there, you know.
This is true. This is freaking true. Yes, I mean, like now, like, I mean, others, I mean, I saw you were saying in the Facebook Live video, like stations are picking up though a bit, but like SiriusXM, they got to get on the ball with this shit.
Yeah, I just heard Hair Nation announced that we were going to be at Sturgis, you know, which we're not really totally that format, but you know, I'm hoping, you know, that some more of them pick it up, and you know, some FM has been picking them up, and it's you know, we kind of fall in, you know, what we found with like, you know, the terrestrial radio and stuff like that is, since we don't exactly follow the blueprint of what they consider active rock is right now,
right,
and which means that, you know, we don't sing exactly like, you know, we're trying to copy Nickelback or something, which no offense on Nickelback. They made the sound, you know, but like there's a million, you know, you hear a million of these like, you know, radio rock bands that sound, you can't even differentiate them from the next one.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that's one cool thing about like 80s music and I heard actually Tom Kiefer brought this up before. And if people don't know out there, you should know, but Tom Kiefer was a singer for Cinderella. You know, he had said one of the things that he appreciated about music and before this modern era, if you will, was that you could instantly tell a band by the vocalist because they all sounded different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like all the vocalists are trying to sound exactly the same. And,
Yeah. You
know, and this isn't a talent slam. They don't have to. They can sound a lot of different ways. You know, like I can make my, you know, I could go to karaoke and sing. If you're a professional, you can sound a lot of different ways. You know, people do it in cover bands all the time.
Right.
And so like, you know, and then you start making a copy of a copy of a copy, and now you're down to like, you know, fifth rate Nickelback, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm not sure still, you know, like I still wasn't okay with second rate Nickelback. So now we're at fifth rate Nickelback, you know. And yeah, it's like a, you know, it's like that, you know, so that was kind of my thing, you know. So we don't follow that, you know. I do a lot of, you know, it was funny. I was talking with a major label one time. And, you know, he was criticizing, like the way that I structured one of my songs, and or a couple of them actually, where we've kind of put like a hook in the pre-chorus, you know.
Okay.
And he was going on and on about that. You know, he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, you've got this in the wrong place, you know. And he's like, you know, that's never going to work on the radio. I was like, oh really? That's never going to work on the radio. He's like, yeah, it's not what sells albums. I'm like, yeah, do you know where I got that from? And he was like, no. I was like, I got that from Mutt Lange. You know, like, I think that he's produced a few pretty good albums in multiple genres.
Yeah.
I was like, he does that all the time. I was like, and that's the person that I studied and got that idea from. And he probably got it from somebody else. But it's funny whenever, you know, there's a very, you know, a limited perspective, because they're just focusing on what's happening right there at that particular time. And, yeah, and it's weird, you know, it's just one of those funny things. But I was like, I just thought it was funny to hear somebody that, you know, that was the key to paying a whole bunch of money to put a radio campaign
right behind
us, who was telling me that a Mutt Lange trick doesn't work. I was like, yeah, tell Def Leppard and Shania Twain that, you know.
Right. That just speaks so many volumes right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's like, I was like, man, sometimes, you know, you get done with those conversations and I'm just like, man, I'm baffled, you know, like that just cracked me up, you know, like that was really the conversation I just had, you know. I was like, no, that's not right.
it's like I don't listen to terrestrial radio. Like, I haven't listened to terrestrial radio in years. Like,
yeah,
I listen to,
yeah,
SiriusXM or, you know, whatever is on my phone.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. You know, it's like, you know, when you stop giving people the things that they want to hear after a while, you know, that's what happens. You know, they migrate to different, you know, formats and stuff. And, you know, it's just, so it's like the Wild West now. It's just the music industry is a very strange place, you know, these days. And, you know, and since there's not as much money just off of album sales, you know, I think that, you know, everybody's like scrambling around trying to be as safe as possible, you know. And one thing that makes rock and metal crappy is being safe.
This is true.
Yeah, safe albums, not good.
But it has become, you know, like on both sides of the fence, even like for you know, a label or, you know, artists that are doing it themselves, because, I mean, it's especially with the artists, it's your money that you're taking the chance with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, you know, and I get it, you know, and they're in a different perspective, you know, like I don't begrudge them, you know, that or anything. It's just a different way to, you know, to look at, you know, they're in the business of trying to make money off their investment that way, and they want to make that money back as quick as possible. I want to make sure that I have a long career and nobody forgets about me next year, you know. So
right.
It's kind of like two different, you know, which ideally, that would be beneficial to them as well, but, you know, but it's short-sighted, you know, it is what it is. I don't like bands that, you know, complain about that kind of stuff. It is what it is. We know that's the state of it. If you're not okay with that, then that's the game right now. You know, it's like, if you don't like those rules, you're not going to change the rules today. You know, like that's the game, you know, you have to adapt to those conditions. You know, if you don't want to adapt to those conditions, then go do something else. You know, I don't want to sit around and cry about it.
Right. But I think like what you did, like, I mean, yeah, you know, your circumstances with Jake and all, it's understandable too from that point, but also too, and I have told so many bands this, like, as much as I love full albums, at this state of the game, you really don't have to do it. You can just throw a single up there every so often and then come back at some point with a full album. But as long as you're just whetting people's appetites with these singles,
yeah,
the cover here and there, I mean, it works now. You can get away with it.
Yeah, there's all kind of, and there, that's the thing. There's no, like, right way. You know, that's why I said it's like the wild, you know, it's kind of like the Wild West, and it's cool because, you know, you can drive innovation like that. Yeah, you could drop one song, you know, but of course, you know, from the quote, you know, the label perspective, they want you to put out albums all the time, you right. know, and I get that pressure too. Like, oh, when's the new album coming? I'm like, people are still digging on the other album. You know, it's like, we're still touring right. regularly. People are still coming to the shows. So, you know, there's really no reason to go back in the studio and start sinking all that money yet until it's time or until you're ready to make one. You know, I don't like to put out stuff before it's ready. You yeah. know, I would rather do a really good album. People be like, man, why'd you wait so long to put something this good out than to, you know, put out a mediocre one every year.
Right.
You know, and even because they told you that they needed that, you know, well, we're not going to book you if you don't have that album out. You know, it's like, okay, then don't book us, you know, and we'll, you know, go around. And it's cool. I'm sure that in different ways, this has always been, you know, the business and the artists both kind of need each other. And I think it's probably always been a contentious relationship just in different forms, I'm sure, you know, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, are you guys doing you guys have any vinyl? I mean, have you crossed that road yet or?
No, we should have. We just haven't got around to it yet. You know, it was something that I really wanted to do last album. And, you know, when we were, you know, getting it just didn't happen last time. But, you know, but I think it's going to present a cool one because I think I can go back and I think, you know, when we go back and reissue like Skeleton Dixie and like Swamp Rebel Machine on, you know, on vinyl, I think it'll add new life to them for a lot of people that, you know, didn't know about us, you know, because, you know, this year especially, we're getting in front of so many more people than we have in the past that, you know, they don't even know we have two albums out, you know, so
right.
it's going to be new for them. So I think when that time comes, it'll be a cool thing, you know, and it can kind of, you know, breathe some life back into some of that stuff that we still play, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love vinyl. I collect vinyl myself. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's like I had refused to do like the whole Spotify thing until like, my buddy Nick, who's my co-host on our live show on Thursdays, like he like has been on me. He's like, dude, I'm telling you, try it. And I finally, I'm like, all right, like I broke down and I tried it. I'm like, holy shit. Like this is just,
it's sweet.
Amazing. Yeah, it really.
I was late to the party too, but it's sweet.
Yeah, on the other night, I'm like, dude, it's like I have a record store on my phone.
A lot. It's funny, like, because a lot of our fan base are really traditionalists and don't listen to like a lot of Spotify. So it's funny, like, we have real high, like, you know, we have like physical album sale numbers and. But like our Spotify numbers they're not great, you know, and it was one of those things. I was like, none of our people are using it. You know, a lot of the people that listen to us, you know, just haven't found it yet. You know, once they, you know, they'll discover it, like, you know, like you and I did, and they'll be like, holy crap, you know, but I don't, but to me, it doesn't really matter. It's just, if you're getting the music, I don't care how you get it. If you like to get it at this format, cool. If you like that format, fine. You know, it's doesn't make any difference to me, but you know, as long as you're getting it, you know, but I think it's great. You know, and Spotify has done some really cool things with, you know, how they, you know, like how you can adjust like artist pages and stuff. And,
right.
And, you know, it's not, obviously, you know, I prefer, you know, I make more money from, you know, physical sales. You know, it just is, you know, obviously, but it's still a cool format. You know, I think I like the idea that somebody, you know, on the other side of the world that we don't ship to can, you know, just go on to Spotify and listen to us, you know, like we found there was a band and there's a video floating around on YouTube of a band in South America that was covering Shelter. I thought it was awesome. You know, it was like, and the singer had like a, He had a cowboy hat on and like a shirt like I wear, and the guitar player looked like he was playing like a Dean, like Dimebag. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah, like look, this you know, that somebody in, you know, South America, you know, thought this was cool, you know, and that's, you know, somewhere I've never been, you know, and it was neat. And that's the power of the internet, you know, just Spotify,
right.
Just one vessel of that, you know.
Speaking of Dimebag, yeah. How mind blowing is this whole Vinnie Paul thing passing away? My Lord.
Yeah, man, my phone was blown up the other night. And I didn't know why, and I just was like, no, I'm not getting in, you know. And I woke up the next day, and that was it, you know. And that was just, you know, that's another, you know, it's a legend gone. You know, there's just no other way to put it. You know, he's. I was just telling somebody this earlier. You know, in a room of legends, Vinnie Paul stood out. You know, I remember being backstage at the Golden Gods, and you're in a room, like the green room back there was like a bar, and you've got, I mean, you know, everybody from Slipknot to Lemmy to, you know, like, you know, the guys in, you know, like Hatebreed, like, you know, there are just a room full of all these, like, you know, all pretty successful musicians in their own right. And like Vinnie Paul walks in, and everybody, it's like, hey, Vinnie, you know, it's like everybody's, you know, like, and you know, there he is, you know, it's like he was larger than life. And, you know, I saw same thing, you know, we were having a band argument in Vegas at the Hard Rock. It was like 3 a.m, you know, and, you know, you look over and I just, and it's like, and there's Vinnie Paul playing cards at the table, laughing at us because, you know, he's been there, done that. You know what I mean? It was just, you know, at Rockfest last year, hell yeah, you know, headline one of the stages we were at. And, you know, I watched him, he walked around Jake's Puke like at 7 a.m, you know, to get to his golf cart. And he walked, I swear to God, he walked off his bus at 7 a.m, already was Vinnie Paul. Like he had his hat on, like he already looked like he walked off a Pantera album cover. It's 7 a.m. Like I look like death, you know, and Vinnie Paul just walks out, gets in his golf cart, just gives like a little wave and takes off. And that was it. You know, it's like, that's just, you know, beyond the music, you know, like beyond, you know, being an icon, you know, that way. It was just like, he just had this, this aura about him that was just, you know, it was just really cool. And, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of how I, you know, always picture him in my head. And, you know, and the hard thing about that is like, you know, he's just a mortal human being like everybody else, you know?
Right.
And that's scary too, you know, like that realization, because you just look at somebody like that, it's like, you know, this invincible, you know, awesome, you know, thing, and you just bam, you know. So it's just horrible, you know. I mean, it's just yeah, real feel for his family and stuff, and yeah, just a crappy all around.
It's like when I sit, especially now that both, you know, Dimebag and Vinnie are gone, like you look at them old Pantera videos, it just makes me so sad. Like I want to see it so bad and experience that music again. And it's just like, fuck, get so angry.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I was watching the other day when we were supposed to play, It was a while ago. We were supposed to be playing with Sons of Texas, and it was a show where everybody on the bill had to pay one Pantera song. Like it was something, which was awesome. You know, like that was just a cool thing. So Sons of Texas, you know, like, and depending on where you were in the order is what you got to pick. So we got like to pick second, you know, and it was like, you know, what song are we going to pick? You know? And it was like, and I don't even think I told the guys, I just picked immediately, you know, I was like, we're doing, we're doing Revolution Is My Name. I was like, that's what I want to do. I was like, that's what we're doing. I was like, we're going to play Cowbell in the middle of the heaviest song ever. And it's going to be awesome. Come on. That's it. That's Pantera, right? Like, I mean, there's Cowbell in the middle of the most extreme metal song, like that, I don't care what Cookie Monster kid that's trying to be heavy in their basement or somewhere, you know, but look, they did it and put a cowbell in the middle, and it was awesome. Yeah, and it was still the most metal thing, you know, and that's just Pantera, you know, that's it.
Sums it up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's it. You know, that's, but yes, anyway, that show didn't happen. So we never got to play it, but that would have been, so unfortunately that got canceled, but But that would have been cool. I'm sitting down here right now. I have two life-size cutouts down here in my room. One of them is Dimebag and one's Jake. So, you know, I guess I'm going to have to get a Vinnie Paul one and a Kiss one. Yeah. I want the whole Kiss band, too. That's my other one.
I saw you guys had the Jake one you guys were bringing around with you.
Yeah. You did that last tour. We still have that one, obviously. And, yeah, so that's yeah, shit. I said Kiss. I shouldn't even go down that rabbit hole. That'll send me in a whole nother tangent.
Dude, we can go on so many tangents. It's crazy.
Yeah. The guitar player who played with us during the Skeleton Dixie album actually went on to be Gene Simmons' bass tech. So, you know, as the biggest Kiss fan on the point, like, I'm not the biggest Kiss fan, you know, I'm not ready to drop 10 grand on one of Paul Stanley's guitars or anything, but, you know, I'm a pretty big Kiss fan, you know, so we've gotten to go, like, backstage and stuff whenever he was working it and stuff, and I have, like, a Kiss shrine at the house, and most of the things are things he gave me, you know, but...
Awesome.
But it's pretty cool to hear some of those Kiss stories from him, you know, because like, you know, he's in the trenches, like he sees what happens at every show. And like the things that you can imagine in your head are very, you know, there's definitely a Spinal Tap quality.
Oh man. Yeah. That's too freaking
fun. In the most
fun.
Awesome way possible. Yeah. I say that with the most awesome way possible. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, I won't rat him out or anything, because you know he tells you the stuff in confidence, but some of it you're just like, that's hilarious, man. You know, there's different levels of success with everything, you know, and that's just another one, man. You know, when you can come down from the sky at the arena.
Oh man. So all right, well, I actually have to wrap up. I have another interview.
Yep,
I got.
No worries, man.
And it's kind of give you a good laugh. Bobby Brown.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Bobby Brown, man. I go back to like the New Edition stuff and everything.
Absolutely.
He won't know who the hell I am, but tell him that, you know, Adam Jones says what's up. And, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, I love when I get into my Bell Biv DeVoe kick in the van, everybody like loses their mind and puts their headphones on. So they're not, you know, even though it's not Bobby Brown, but that's still part of the New Edition.
Dude, how can you not like Bell Biv DeVoe? Come on.
It's a character flaw if you don't. But Bobby Brown, man, when Humping Around comes on in the van or My Prerogative, you know, I think I can dance for a second, just for a minute. You know, I get my white man's overbite going and stuff, and then I'm like, all right, I got to stop now. But yeah, that's a legend, man. You know, that's cool.
Actually, it's the Cherry Pie Girl, but.
Oh, that one. Damn, I was going in a different direction. Well, that's cool, too.
Yeah.
That one goes in a whole other direction. Yeah, that was a... So anyway, but not, I'm not as excited about that one as the other Bobby Brown, but I'm still excited for you. That fits your show format better. That makes more sense.
My show format is all over the freaking place.
That's awesome.
As a matter of fact, I got to play this too. I got to play this one too for you real quick.
Okay.
This is Arul Sheikh. Don't be jabroni. Listen to the number one radio station, Tolo station, and we have a good day.
Yes. We tried to get him. We tried to get him to do a clip for the last album. We could not make any headway with that. So you're the king, man. That's as far as I'm concerned. That wins hands down. You know, look forward to seeing you in outside of Philadelphia here soon. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You can still tell Bobby Brown I said hello. You can tell her that I, even though that I thought she was sang My Prerogative, but you know.
Oh man.
Shit. All right. We can't go anywhere after that. We'll just leave it at that, man.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll call you. Be safe.
Good,
we'll
buddy.
Be in touch while you're touring and shit.
Absolutely, bud. We'll talk later.
All right,
bye.
Man. Yep. Take care.
How you feel? The fire. How you? see that? Well, mostly me, because I rocked every time. Good luck billing that.
Come on, Snotrag.
You don't call me that, man.
Okay, I meant Hanky. Come on, give me a ride.
No, man, I'm watching Dukes of Hazzard.
Fuck, man, you want to watch the Dukes of Hazzard instead of getting laid?
Yeah, man. It's my favorite show.
Ain't never been there. Well, maybe it's nicer now.
back to Generio Bay Ragni here, and there you go. There they are, Scattered Hamlet, and that was Swamp Rebel Machine. Before that, we did Stonewall Jackson, and before that, we kicked off that block of Scattered Hamlet music with the Twisted Sister classic, the cover they just did, Stay Hungry. And that goes out to their drummer, Jake, who we discussed about in the interview, who had that horrible accident. He's laid up in a coma. He's been like that for, it's been at least 6 months now, I think. Sucks. Such a freaking shame, man. Good dude. But, yeah, so there you go. So, thanks everybody for tuning in. Make sure you check out, if you're in the Philadelphia area, come out July 21st, The Nail in Ardmore, Scattered Hamlet with Crown of Earth, Rat Rod, The Outlaw Pandas. And you can go, just look for us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio. There's an event page on our Facebook page with the link to buy tickets. Advanced tickets are $6. Day of show, they are $10. Come on out and have a rocking good time. You'll have a ball. Trust me. And look for me, Bay Ragni, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And look for Totally Driven Radio on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, and possibly more. There's a whole bunch of them. Just Google us. We're everywhere. Oh, and YouTube, too. There you go. So, all right. Thanks again for tuning in. And make sure, very importantly, stay driven. See you, everybody.